Tav Kuf Nun Vav. We did all of Shmos last year. Okay. Va'era Lavram. Says the Pasuk. Va'era Lavram El Yitzchak Vel Yankiv B'Kel Shakai. And Hashem says that he appeared to Avram and Yitzchak and Yankiv with the name of Kel and the name of Shin Dalad Yud. Pirish Rashi. So Rashi comments on this Pasuk that Hashem is speaking to Moshe here, trying to get Moshe Rabbeinu to undertake the mission to go redeem Klal Yisrael from Egypt. So Hashem reminisces Kaviyachal about the fact that he appeared to Avram, Yitzchak, and Yankiv, and they didn't question him. And here Moshe Rabbeinu is giving him a hard time. Pirish Rashi, Chaval al da'avdin v'le mitshtakhin. Famous Pasuk, Hashem says, woe for those who have been lost but are not forgotten. It is known that the secret of the Egyptian exile, who kihadas ha'amiti ha'yibigolus, they had knowledge of God. But that's very different than das. Das suggests a level of integration that was lacking in Mitzrayim. So the exile of Egypt is referred to as the Golus Hadas. And he explains, Shalayhoyam Asigin Hadas Lavid Habay Baruch Hu. They didn't grasp the concept of Das with which to serve Hashem. Kinyan Shenemar, as the Pasuk really demands Das, Alikei Avicho Ve'Avdeu. Two steps. Know the God of your fathers, ve'avdeyu, and serve him. So that das, if you will, there is knowing the Ribbono Shel Olam, but then there's the knowing that leads a person to serve. That's the distinction between a cerebral das, saying, I know that there is a God, and knowing, which is das, that says, I know him, but to know him means to serve him. So if you want to use the popular phrase, to know me is to love me, when it comes to God, it is to know him is to serve him. That's true das. And that's what was lacking in Mitzrayim. They knew that there was a God, but it was the kind of knowledge which was cerebral and didn't force them to do anything about it. And that's called Golus Hadas.
Like kids who have a parent but doesn't force them to listen?
Ki be'emes Hadas hu ha'ikir ha'mevili de'yira v'yahavi gemura. Das, true das, is that which will bring a person to awe and to true love. Ki ach ha'shiyei de'v'yamin. Because after a person really knows and really believes ki mole kol aretz kevoidoi, that the entire world is filled with the presence of Hashem. And there is no place which is void of Hashem's presence. What's more, Tiny Kolatanugim and HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the source of all pleasure. Baruch Hu, Baruch Shemoi, Chai HaChayim. Blessed is He, blessed is His name. Chai HaChayim, the source of all life. So he says like this. Imkain, so now let's speak logically. B'chol HaTanugim, Ilo Yitzuyer Chas V'Shalom Hed Hashifes Oyer V'Chiyusa Yizbach B'Hadvarim HaNivroim. Let's take an example of any pleasure. A person sits down and he's indulging in a fabulous barbecued steak. Now, a person says to themselves like this. Were the master of the world to remove his sustenance for a single moment from this piece of meat, it would cease to exist. Is hayu chayzrim hanivroim l'toyu v'voyu. So, if Hashem were to remove His sustenance from this for a single moment, it would cease to exist. Hello. V'chein v'chol ha'elamos elyonim v'tachtonim. The same applies to all the worlds, above and below. Ilu yitzuyu chas v'shalom hedechiyas mehem. Forget about just the steak. All existence. If HaKadosh Baruch Hu were for a single moment to remove His hashgacha, His continued sustenance, hayu kilei hayu. Poof. They would be as if they never was, to say that in perfect English. V'im kein, if that's the case, is hu ha'ikar b'chol ha'dvarim, then who is really the true existence of all things? It is only the Ribbono Shel Olam. V'im kein k'sheyamin b'zeh, if we really, really believe that, v'adai lo yis'ava l'shum tainik b'olam, then a person would really not desire any other pleasure. Me'achas she'ikarei hu ha'bo'y baruch hu, the person would always follow the source of that pleasure, which is the Ribbono Shel Olam himself. V'im kein, so a thinking person would say, if all of these things are only created and sustained moment by moment by Hashem, is toiv yoisa l'davik asatzme b'tani go amiti, I might as well go back to the source instead of going to a secondary or a far removed pleasure. I might as well just go back and enjoy the source itself.
It wouldn't operate that way.
Hold on. Let him. He continues the thought. V'loy lahafrid. It's worse than that. It's not only that a person falls for the shallow manifestation that we see, which is why we generally do fall for much more for shallow forms. But what's more critical is that a person not separate themselves from his source, to accept the pleasure at face value.
Amen. We thank the Almighty for the hamburger, but we enjoy the hamburger.
Right. So that is precisely what just happened. Meaning as follows. There's no question that as human beings we are going to enjoy that which we enjoy. But there's an acceptance and an acknowledgement and a rooting of oneself in the fact that it does not exist as something independent. What's more is that within that understanding itself, there are multiple levels of appreciation. So let's say level number one is a person's not going to eat without a bracha. Okay, so it's just a basic acknowledgement that Hashem created the world and he created what I have. A deeper level than that would be a person to say, I'm sitting down to a meal, there has to be a divrei Torah spoken at the meal. A deeper level than that would be a person who would say, I'm only going to eat if afterwards I'm going to use this energy to actually do something productive with this energy. And so on and so forth, until we reach the point of a person whose depth of awareness is so much that they actually sense something spiritual going on in the food that they're eating. This past week,
you forget what your father says before he eats? Usually bring that as an example.
Yeah, that's an introductory thing. I'll just tell you how much. Oh, here's how it goes. We met. A cousin of mine met an older man who said that he was a sheikhet. And I hope I don't mess this up. And he was an older man, and he said to him, give me a knife. He held the chalif in his hand, and he said, you see, my hand isn't trembling at all. I didn't give up shechita because I was too old. He said, let me tell you why I gave up shechita. Said that he was a sheikhet in a town where there were two sheikhtim. One of them sheikhted the beginning days of the week, the other one sheikhted the final days of the week. Said it was not his turn to sheikht. It was his off days. And he had a dream that there was a fellow came to him in a dream saying that I don't remember exactly what he had done wrong, but that his neshama had been wandering for years and years. And he finally came to a place where they allowed him to be Magogal in a cow. He said, tomorrow they're going to bring me to you to be shechted. He says, I want only you to shecht and not the other shechet. And please make sure that I come out kosher and that people say a bracha over my meat. It's the only way I'll have a tikkun. He said, and if you want a simen that it's me, you'll see that if they bring me to any other shaykhet, I will throw such a fit that it will not be possible for them to hold me down and shaykh me. But if when they bring me to you, I will lay there absolutely still. Anyway, he dismissed the dream, woke up the next day, and the other shaykhet called in ill with a high fever. Anyway, it was a slow day. They brought in this one cow, and he took the cow and walked it himself to the other sheikh and said, get out of bed, you're going to shecht this cow. Guy said, I've got a raging fever. He said, I don't care what you've got, you get out of bed and shecht this cow. Anyway, they got out, brought him to the shlachtos where they were shechting, and this cow began throwing such fits, it was impossible for them to hold it down. So he walked over and took the chalif, and the cow lay absolutely still. So he saw that he had no choice. He shechted it, and he took out the lung, and there was a huge shaila in the lung. They took it to the local rav, and he said it was treif. So he couldn't bear the thought of this. He took the entire animal, loaded it up in his wagon, and went to Honestayapal to Ramatala. Told him the entire incident from beginning to end. Ramatala secluded himself in his room with this reya, with this lung. He came out several hours later and said, I was machsherit. He asked the Rebbetzin to prepare some of the meat, and Ramatala himself ate from the meat. He said, once that story happened, he said, I was never going to shecht again. That was the end of my shechita career. Now, that concept of there being neshamas in food that needed to be elevated was not unique to this story. It's a common occurrence. And it happens to us every day. We're just not conscious of it. So that's a deeper level of consciousness, of recognizing that the Ribbono Shel Olam is the one who's orchestrating these things. But the issue of das is living these things, not just having them in a passing, casual way. Let's see further. So the next step is that a person who doesn't recognize HaKadosh Baruch Hu's creation is, not only is he not elevating anything, but instead of the physical world becoming something which helps propel the person into a place where they're connecting, they become separated. We're in the Daf Kuf Nun Vav, for somebody who just joined, left-hand column. But halfway through, heaven forbid a person not end up separating himself from his root, to fall for the pleasure as it appears to the physical eye. This is what the Zohar calls as a person who separates the aluf, who separates Hashem from his world. This is a person who separates Hashem from his presence in this world. A very, very fundamental concept. What is the Shechina? We refer to this terminology of Hashem's divine presence. Everything in this world is called the Shechina. That is the presence of Hashem that exists in all things. Now, if we interact with the physical world like everybody else, as I mafrid chas v'shalom, we end up separating Hashem from His presence. Back up to the top of the page. For sure, somebody who has this knowledge, yire b'chol dover, should see in all things hapnimius, the internal spark hamekaimoi, that gives it its sustenance, shushchinasei baruch hu, which is the Shechina itself, v'yidabik boi. The person should use that aspect of Hashem that dwells within the physical things to connect to it, And then the physical world itself will bring the person to awe and to love of Hashem. So it almost is like there's no middle ground. Either the person has a God consciousness and the physical world will raise the person up to a point where they come to a deeper relationship with Hashem, or the physical world will take the person and drag them into the depths. There's very little room for pariv. Now,
it can be an on again, off again.
Oh, it is. And not is it just on again, off again, but there's also gradations of how much on again and how much off again. Now, v'ahava nikr k'mishikosu b'mishnah. What is ahava? What is this love? So the Mishnah says, v'ahavta v'goyma b'chol ma'idecho, says the Mishnah in Brachos. What does it mean to love Hashem? B'chol ma'idecho, says the Mishnah, b'chol midu umida shuhu moidid loch. No matter how Hashem acts to you, have a moideloi b'ma'id ma'id. The person should thank him exceedingly. Is l'havan adavah, ma'u b'chol midu umida. What is this language? In every Mida, in every attribute, in every way that Hashem. What is a Mida? In fact, we call the spheres, the 10 spheres, we call Hashem's Midos. We have the Yud Gimel Midos Shorachman. What does it mean, Mida? What does that word mean? Says the Mar Naim Dinoida, Ki Hashem is Baruch Ein Soif. Because everybody knows that Hashem is infinite. V'im kein hu davar shein legvo v'tachlis. Infinite means without boundary. V'ha'olam hu davar shiyesh legvo. But we have a problem here because our world does have boundaries. V'im kein eichav shalo'olam nizbar o'er shifas chiyusay shesheichem mechal ha'nivraim kenal. How is it possible for the world to be able to handle, if Hashem is pouring infinite energy into the world through any one of the midas, how is it possible for us to tolerate Hashem's infinite chesed or Hashem's infinite gvura when we are limited? Me'ach Hashem li'yisborach gvul, Elohu yisborach manigay lo mayadei midoysav, says the Maranaim, because Hashem operates the world through measuring. The Amida is Nikroi Mashem Modad Hashem Yisbarach. It comes from the language of Mida is to measure. The Tzimtzem is Atzme Kaviyochel. Hashem limited himself. It's called a Mida because Hashem measures how much the world can tolerate. Rizal Loshen Mida. All of this is according to Hashem's infinite, ungraspable wisdom has decreed. Sometimes he measures out chesed, and other times he measures out another midah. According to how Hashem's wisdom decreed, shitzarech beisahu linig elamai, lanig elamai, ayde shifas chiyusay. Whatever Hashem at that time decrees, his world needs a little bit of this, his world needs a little bit of that. V'chein l'chol adam Yisrael, so too is it individually in our lives. Moedid es atzmai, Hashem measures himself. U'mitzamtzim elukuso yizborach, and he limits his godliness k'fi koyach ha'odam, according to where we are at. V'sichloi bizman hahu, to wherever our mental state and our personal lives are at that time. That's Hashem says, okay, here's how much so-and-so can tolerate of this aspect, I'm going to give him a dose of this. I'm going to give him a dose of this midah, a dose of that midah.
How do you get ahead?
Kiyashgo, he's going to talk about Kiyashgo chosoi. Pam b'chesed, sometimes with chesed, or pam b'rachmim, sometimes it's tempered. Kiyashgachos yizbarach roye kiyev shal odom lekachas elekusa yizbarach, because Hashem's hashgacha sees that it's impossible for a person to take Hashem's godliness beis ahi kiim b'zois hamididavka. Hashem knows what we can handle, what we can tolerate at that time. Now, Ve'im ha'adam yesh le'das, if we live with das, bevada mekabel alikusa yisbarach, kifi mashemoda desatzme eda b'yisayi, so we will accept what Hashem is delivering, ve'yismach bekabolas alikusa yisbarach alav, we will rejoice with whatever measure and whatever flavor HaKadosh Baruch Hu dishes out to us at that time, we will accept it willingly. And we will thank him exceedingly. And with whatever Hashem gave us, we will serve him with awe and with love. Because we are a person who's operating in the realm of das, meaning we're recognizing that everything that's happening to us is coming from Hashem. Das is the power that includes all of the midas that is known. He's getting here into...
Aren't the awe and the love midos themselves?
Right. But there's also a midah called das, which is koilal all them. So there's different ways of counting the midas. Either it's kes or chach mabina, or chach mabina das. Das, he's saying here, is an aspect that covers all of the midas. That if a person accepts whatever Hashem is dishing out with the understanding of das, then he will serve Hashem with whatever Hashem has given him at that time. So he explains further. Well, it's circular only because it opens up new avenues for new midas to be shaykh to the person.
Gives us number three, humility. We're going to serve him with love and awe with respect to number three humility, number three level of humility that he gave us. Right?
Go ahead.
So how do we get beyond number three?
All right, so then now he's going to say that now. For this reason it's written that when a person reads the Shema, when they come to the Dalid of the word Echad, a person's supposed to have in mind Dalid Mises Bezdin, that they'd accept upon themselves the four forms of death delivered by Bezdin, Uliyached Shemoy Be'emes, and to unify Hashem's name in truth. Now, where does this concept come from that a person should imagine that they'd go to their deaths? Because the pasuk says, we're willing to die for you, Hashem, all day long. That's a person who accepts upon themselves that for Hashem's sake they would accept any form of death. For the sake of Hashem's unity. There's a concept called like this. There's a concept of yichud, of unifying Hashem's name. What does that mean? That means as follows. That we know that the name of Yud and then He and then Vav and then He is the name of compassion. The name of Elikim is the name referred to as the name of harshness, of gevura, of constriction. Now when a person unifies, meaning what he accepts Hashem in either form that Hashem conducts himself with us, Judin, Me'achshem Mikabala the Kusi Yisbach B'shtayim, when a person accepts Hashem in both forms, Zehu Hashem Elikeinu Hashem Echad, that is a person who makes a statement that they understand that Hashem conducts himself with us in both forms. Bein Shemisnaigi Mabimidas Havaya, whether Hashem is conducting himself with us as compassion. Bein b'midas alikeinu. The statement we make is Hakoyel Hashem. We recognize that all is Hashem. Shu chesed hakel yisbarach, which is the kindness of Hashem. Why? Bichdei shiyuchel kabel alikusa yisbarach b'dover ahu me'acha shekein tzorach le'beisei. What are we saying? We're saying like this. That due to the fact that we know that Hashem is compassionate, so even though what we're experiencing at the time, at surface level, seems to be no fun at all, but the yichud, the unification of Hashem, the statement that makes, of Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad, is that no matter what we're experiencing, we recognize that the source of it is the kindness of HaKadosh Baruch Hu.
And it could be worse.
Except he puts a filter.
It's not that it could be, it certainly could be worse, but the point is
he's giving us what we can handle.
He's giving us what we need. V'zeo ki Hashem hu alikim. That's the concept of Hashem, meaning the Shem Havayah, who alikim is alikim. How does a person come to such a level? V'chol zayi de'adas. It's all the same das as he mentioned before. Like that pasuk says at the beginning, v'yadata hayoyim. It all comes from this integration. U'kesho'ovid kein b'dazeh. But here is what's critical to know is that when we serve Hashem with this level of das, nasa gam kenadin rachamim, we have a transforming power to transform that which appears harsh into total compassion. Because we believe, and we're able to accept what's going on with joy, and we're able to thank Hashem, and we're able to reach a point where we accept what's happening as if we really understood that it was really good for us. We accept it as if it's mamash chesed. The mashal they give is, you know, the doctor who chas v'shalom needs to cut open a person. So a person who has no brains is going to scream at the doctor that the doctor's cruel. Whereas a person who's a thinking person says, I know that what he's doing is good for me, even though it's painful. So there's a great distinction between pain and cruelty.
So are you saying that characteristics such as sorrow and disappointment and frustration are misplaced, have no purpose?
It's interesting that
if you're disappointed, then there's no chesed.
Right. So you guys hear that question? The question posed by Mr. Hiller here is, so is there place for sorrow and disappointment and frustration in this philosophy? I believe there's a piece of Peleoyetz. I think it's Peleoyetz from Ramatala, where Ramatala says that there first has to be an experience of pain and frustration and disappointment. And then the person can say, I accept that what's going on is for my good.
The second doesn't have meaning without the first.
Right. And that
it's, how long does that first part go on, or is that a
that's the measure of the kind of person you are, is how many weeks we allow the anger to linger.
Well, that's not pain. Pain exists, really.
Right. That's why I use frustration. It's not pain. Pain can go on, even in the joy, but even in the acceptance, suffering is the issue. Right. Does there need to be suffering? And here, what he's saying is that the person can recognize the pain, and transform it to a place where he says, "Hashem knows what's best for me." But what the chiddush of what he's saying is that if a person really integrates that the suffering itself, which is transformed into acceptance, will actually remove the pain. That's the meaning of the righteous being able to transform the harshness into compassion. And the conversely, the wicked, even though Hashem conducts himself at surface level with tremendous compassion, they still don't accept godliness because they still don't have das. They have all kinds of good things and never do they connect them up with the Rebbeinu Shlem. So as a result, they're constantly taking good things and transforming them into harshness. They do the opposite. Whereas the righteous people are able to take the harshness and transform it into compassion, the wicked take good things and turn them into bombs. Comes the Maranaim and says that the tzaddik has the power not only to transform the harshness in their own life, but even to redirect and correct that which the wicked have corrupted, umahapchim lemidas rachmim, and they're able to transform it into compassion.
And this can lead to depression. Somebody says, you know, I just can't get over my frustration, I just can't get over my sorrow, is going to end up being depressed.
Well, this, Jim is pointing out a very critical thing that happens to a lot of people who learn Chassidus Shesvarim. And that is that cerebrally we know one thing, and then it comes to real life, and you can't get the upper hand, and as a result you become depressed about the fact that you know something is one way, and you can't get the upper hand. My Uncle Shia tells a story. When his wife died, and Rahman al-Litzlan and Uncle Shia was not in a good place. So somebody came over to him and said to him, you know, Rabbi Twersky, I have these great books that I want to recommend to you to read. They really have helped me through very difficult times in my life, and, you know, it's smiling each day and living each day. And so my uncle said to him, you know, they tell a story about a fellow in town who was very depressed in Europe, and just was horribly depressed. And finally some friends got together and said to him, you know, there's a circus in town, and they have a fabulous clown. And this clown can make anybody laugh. You know, you're in such a terrible place. Go to the circus and watch the clown. He says, nah, it's not going to work. They said, we're telling you, it works for anybody. It really works for anybody. He said, I'm telling you, it's not going to work. And finally, they nudged him. He said, I'm telling you, it's not going to work. So finally, they said to him, why isn't it going to work? He said, because I'm the clown. It is a huge problem. What you're mentioning is a huge problem. But the alternative is not to be aware of it, and therefore never to have hope of being able to transform. It is the danger of learning anything in Ruchnius, because it makes demands, and then when you can't live up to the demands, you get.
Well, we got the beard softens the blow, but
that's correct. That's why you have the beard.
Part of it is that person is allowed to be in the state that he is.
We allow ourselves to be.
We are allowed, because that's the preface to can't get beyond it until you go through that phase.
The question is how long.
But people should not deny.
No, you can't deny. You see that Chazal accepted. There's brachas, baruch dayana emes. You see that, yeah. That it says that chas v'shalom, when a person has a huge financial loss or a death, heaven forbid, there's a bracha which is said. Now, if there's no pain, you don't say the bracha. Now, it's interesting that it says la'asid lavai. We're going to look back and see that all those things that we said, baruch dayana emes, were really kindnesses. So it's in limited vision that we think that it was harshness. Let's just do one more paragraph here. You guys got to go to Marv. Vizel ben Bag Bagayim. Next page. Kuf Nun Ches. This is the meaning of the Mishnah. Ben Bag Bag says, Hafeich ba vahafeich ba. Turn it over and keep on stirring it. Ki ayideh Torah shu adas. It is through the study of Torah, which is the key to das. Yahapeich ba. Yeah, I'm sorry. Yahapech mashem esnagi ma'abayis broch b'midas hadin. Hafeich ba, turn it over. He's saying turn it over means we have the ability to transform the harshness of our life. Through what? Ba, through Torah. If we want to be able to transform the harshness of life, is hafeich ba v'hafeich ba, yahapech mashem esnagi ma'abayis broch b'midas hadin. Yahapech, we can transform it l'midas harachmim. V'gam yahapech ba. Similarly, yahapech mashikilklu harishoyim ka'amala el v'havin. Similarly, we can even transform what other people have distorted in their lives. So, I remember seeing, it's a similar concept, that when you take something and you flip it, so you can either take something and you can move it over, or you take something and flip it, you go much further. Hafeich ba means that to the degree that a person experienced pain, to that degree, when they're mahapechit, does it become good. So it really has the ability to... Transforming means transforming to the degree where, to whatever level it was painful, to that level do we have the ability to turn it into rachamim. We will take this up next week.